have this opportunity to say a few words at the end of Divine Liturgy to our graduates. We have a large group of graduates today, many of whom are unable to participate with us in high school, college, and post-college graduates as well. We'll go through their names in just a few moments. But I think it was such an appropriate blessing. First of all, congratulations to you all. It's such an incredible and appropriate blessing that we are doing this, albeit a little bit later this year. We usually do it in the first part of June, but we're a little bit later this year for a few reasons. But it just happens to fall on the feast day of St. John the Baptist. And it's so appropriate, and I'm going to kind of highlight John the Baptist in my encouragement to you on behalf of Father Paul and Father Jimmy, who of course are not here, Father Theodore, who happens to have two graduates, Anthony from high school and Fortini from college, and the deacons, Deacon Paul from the Metropolis and Deacon John. But the beginning of my remarks are in this context. For about the last 10 years or so, at our home, right, we have a light outside on our front porch, and there has been a little nest that swallows have built there. We've taken it down twice, but they keep building it again and again. Any of you have that issue? Well, we have, at this present time, after about 10 years, we have to put newspaper down underneath their nest to catch all of the excrements that are down there. And believe me, there are many. We have four little baby swallows. And it's just absolutely amazing because the mother is now encouraging them to leave their nest, and they've left their nest, but they come back and they stay for a good portion of the day in the nest, and then they fly around. And as we, Presbyter Marsh and I and my mother-in-law and father-in-law, have been observing them, from about 10 days ago, you could barely even see them. And in a 10-day period, they're almost full grown. They're about to leave the nest. And I put this in the context of God's incredible divine presence and love and creativity and creation. And one of the scriptures in the Bible says that our Lord knows every hair on our head. And I've said this before, some of us older guys, we would prefer that he knows hair on other parts of our body because we lose the hair on our head. But the point being, he knows each of us intimately and very, very personally. And I respectfully offer this to you as a context for my remarks. The context of our remarks are, we have witnessed for about 10 years in that little nest on our front porch the miracle of life, the miracle of God's creation. From tiny little eggs to tiny little nestlings to almost full-sized little birds in a matter of 10 days, which is absolutely amazing. And I offer that to you all, for those of you who have graduated college, we have two college graduates here, and for those of you who have graduated high school, as you embark, for those college graduates, and continue in that new phase of your life, as those of you who now will either go to college or now take off on a new chapter in your life, you're going to hear a lot of people who tell you and tell us there is no God. You will hear a lot of people that will encourage you and say that, of course, we can do our very, very best in life, but God is like a fable. It's like a story, just made-up stories. Observing the miracle of the nestlings is an affirmation that God does exist. We can see God's existence in the beauty of nature around us on the one hand, but there's another word that's even more important to us, rather than observing God in the creation, knowing God intimately. And you know what the Greek word for that is? Theoria. It comes from two roots, theos, meaning God, and oros, meaning visualizing. So it's seeing God and knowing God. Not just through God's creation and through God's creatures, those ones and things that he has created, but it is knowing God intimately because he knows us and he loves us. So with that in mind, on behalf again of our clergy, of our parish council, of all our entire parish, and on behalf of your mothers and fathers, congratulations. We are so very, very proud of you as you embark upon this next phase of your life. You're not going to be perfect. I have news for you. I'm not perfect either. And no matter how old we are, we have Mary Brandt, who last week and a half ago, celebrated her 99th birthday. And I have news for you. She's not perfect either. So none of us is perfect, and we never, never, ever will be. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't strive for perfection, to do our very best in every endeavor that we have, to put ourselves out there and do it as an offering to God, a thanksgiving offering, because he has given us our lives. Just like he gave those little birds their lives, he has given you little birds a life, and you're about ready to leave the nest to a next chapter of your lives. In the midst of your imperfection, admit that you're wrong. The greatest sin, which means missing the mark, and it's intentional at times and sometimes unintentional. The greatest way that we miss the mark is that we don't admit it when we've made a mistake. We don't take on our own shoulders that which we have made a mistake. Remember, God knows every hair on our head, and he loves us unconditionally. That means he loves us even when we're not perfect. He loves us when we make mistakes. He loves us always. In fact, in Romans chapter 8, it says, there is neither height nor depth, nor angels nor principalities, nor things above nor things below. There is neither life nor death that can separate us from the love of God, which is ours through Christ Jesus our Lord. So nothing can separate us from God's love. So when we make a mistake, intentional or unintentional, say three very important words. I am sorry. Another three. I was wrong. Another three. Please forgive me. Take a deep breath. Know that God loves us. God forgives us. And get up and try again. And again, and again, and again. Going back to St. John the Baptist, I want to read a couple of things about him. These are hymns from Matins from Ortho Service today. He says, what a paradoxical miracle. He who is greater than those born of women and prophets all, for his mother now dispels the indictment of barrenness. As in the spirit and power of Elias, he comes, going before the Lord to prepare his ways. Another one says, what a paradoxical miracle. He who announced unto all the kenosis of Christ the Lord, which means the emptying of Jesus Christ. God who is, Jesus who is God, empties himself. He doesn't give up his divine nature, but becomes a little humble, tiny little infant. He gives up all of the grandeur, if you will, of the divine place in order to become one of us, and not just one of us like fully grown, but like a tiny little infant in total humility. But he releases Elizabeth's barrenness by divine power and Zachariah's voice, truly magnificent. Master, are your miracles? And then the final one, what a paradoxical miracle. He who had leapt in the womb as the prophet and forerunner now is shown to be the one who is greatest among those born. Okay, so let me tell you just very, very briefly about John the Baptist. It might be a little repetitive, but I'm going to tell you anyway. His mom and dad, Zacharias and Elizabeth. Zacharias was a priest, a Jewish priest in Judaism, right? And his mother, Elizabeth, was unable to have children. They prayed, and she was beyond childbearing years. But while Zacharias was in the temple, it was his turn to be in the temple as a Jewish priest. While he was in the temple, the archangel Gabriel visited him and said, "Your prayers have been heard, and your wife who was barren will conceive and bear a son." And Zacharias said, "Well, how can this be? She's beyond childbearing age. In other words, she is just past menopause. How can this happen?" And the archangel Gabriel said, "What is impossible to man is possible with God. And because you don't believe, you're not going to be able to speak to Zacharias until she has the baby." So she did, in fact, conceive. He was not able to speak for 9 months. And then what happened is, in about the fifth month of her pregnancy, her niece by the name of Mary, i.e. the Virgin Mary, the same archangel Gabriel visited her and announced to her the great news that she was going to be the bearer of Christ, the bearer of the Savior of the world, the mother of the Savior of the world. And she responded, "Behold, I am the servant of God. Be it done to me according to God's word." At which point, by the power of the Holy Spirit, she conceived. Immediately upon conceiving, she went to Zacharias and Elizabeth's home. And Elizabeth heard her knock on the door and came to the front door, and you know how she answered it? This is recorded, by the way, in the Gospel of Luke. She answers the door, knows nothing of what has taken place with regards to the archangel Gabriel visiting Mary. And she immediately says, "How is it that you, the mother of my Lord, should come to visit me? For as soon as the babe in my womb heard your words, he leaped for joy." And essentially, Elizabeth is prophesying now through the prophet in her womb that is 5 months in gestation. And by the way, please listen carefully. Christianity has always believed that human life begins at conception. Human life begins at conception. And with that in mind, here is the prophet and forerunner John prophesying and then giving those words to his mother Elizabeth when he is 5 months in her womb and 4 months from delivery. So you know the rest of the story. This is a little long story. Is it okay if I continue? The rest of the story is that Mary remained with her for about 3 months and then returned to her home. And then after about a month, Elizabeth gives birth to John. And they name him John because that is the name that the archangel Gabriel gave to Zacharias. What took place later now, Jesus is born. Remember the story. Jesus is born about 4 months later, and he's born in Bethlehem. But the king Herod, who was not a holy man, by the way, this is a Jewish king, not a holy man, the king Herod gives an edict. When he hears that that Jesus is born, he gives an edict. He wants to destroy Jesus because he's afraid that Jesus is going to take his kingdom away. But Joseph and Mary are warned in a dream, and they take Jesus to Egypt. And then following that, Herod in anger gives an edict out that all male children 2 years of age and younger of the entire region should be killed. And so the Jewish authorities go to the temple because they know Zacharias and Elizabeth had a son, but Zacharias had sent his wife to the wilderness with her baby, And they went into the temple, and they asked Zacharias, where is your wife and child? And he refused to tell them. And after pleading with him, they killed him in the temple, and they defiled the temple. And within about 40, 50 years after that, the temple was destroyed and never built again from 2,000 years ago. And then Elizabeth was in the wilderness with the baby, and she died within a matter of months, most likely, and he lived in the wilderness by himself. And then he comes after being, he's a cousin of Jesus, after being in the wilderness, he comes and he baptizes Jesus. Okay, a long story. And the point that I want to make is this. John is an extraordinary fellow. He was considered a prophet eventually, but he lived the majority of his time away from people. When we see him there, it says he was in camel hair and he ate locust and wild honey. We have an opportunity in the world in which we live to emphasize and to do our very best to be kind to people of all walks of life, right? John would have been considered very strange in his day. And yet he's the one that God chose to be the forerunner of Jesus the Christ, the Savior of the world. So I want you all to, as you go out, celebrate the uniquenesses of each and every one of you in the context of love for God, not outside of the context of love for God. Remember, God loves us all. In our invitation, like with Mary and like with John the Baptist and Zacharias and Elizabeth, is to be faithful people. So as each of you go out, as you live in the world, as you go to school, as you work, do your very best to have God as number one in your life. There will be all sorts of people all around you that will, if you do that, will think you're weird, quite frankly, and will try to convince you that that's a very strange thing to do. And will encourage you to do things that are not godly. Well, remember, you're not perfect, so you're going to make some mistakes, right? But try to begin your day focused upon God. Try to end your day focused upon God. If there's one thing that I can offer you from my heart, that's what it would be. If there's one thing that I know I could offer on behalf of your parents and your grandparents and the ones who love you so deeply, it is that. Begin with God and end with God. When you wake up in the morning, do your stavro, your cross. Thank God for this new day because it is unique and it's different. It's different than yesterday and it's going to be different than tomorrow. So celebrate this one day. Thank Him. Do your very best to live with Him as a forefront of your life, treating one another with love and dignity and respect, and treating yourself with that same love, dignity, and respect as an offering to God. And end your day with God, with a little prayer. If you're able in the day to read just a few verses of the Bible, we're going to give you high school guys, graduates, a Bible. For those who've graduated before, you have one, I know. Take and read, even if it's for 3 minutes, just a little verse from the Bible. I would start with the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Just a little bit about the life of our Lord. And then thank Him. If you made a mistake, ask for forgiveness. Say you're sorry and ask for forgiveness. Deal? I'm going to ask you to shake on it. Christopher?
Deal.
Anthony? Christian? Mariah? George? Baseline? Nicole? Shaking? Remember, all things are possible through Christ who strengthens us. And if God is for us, no one can be against us. Once again, we're so proud of you. God's love and grace and blessings be with you. And may you have a beautiful next chapter of your life.